if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future, where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Mosaic Pomona podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live on Sundays at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.mosaicpomona.org. You can also download the Mosaic Pomona app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing movement at Mosaic Pomona, visit us online at mosaicpomona.org/give or check out the giving option on the Mosaic app. Enjoy this week's talk.
Let's take a moment this morning as we dive in and let's just pray together before we jump in. Jesus, we thank you for your presence that is here and that we get to be connected to you. It is mind-blowing that the God who created the universe wants to be intimately connected to his people in the most strangest of locations and times and places, God, that you want to move in us and through us and dwell with us. Father, may we be aware of the reality that you are here and that you are wanting to do something new in us and then through us, Father. Would you continue to shape us into the men and the women that you've called us to be, to live the lives that you dreamed for us, that we might become the people you long for. We thank you for your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we've been finishing a series a few weeks ago, and we've been just kind of having some different conversations over the last few weeks, and it's been enjoyable for me to take a look at what God's doing in our community and through us and with us, and today's topic seems pretty appropriate, given where people are at today, even where we're having conversations this morning. That there are certain things that feel very elusive to the human spirit, but that we all long for. There are things that seem like we desire so desperately, and at times they seem so far out of reach from what we actually have here and now. And one of those things that I find that everyone's trying to find in life but seems so elusive is this thing called rest. True? It's like there, every single one of us is longing to find this place called rest, to be in this essence of rest. And yet, I find that for the most part, it is something that eludes us as a lifestyle in finding the very thing that we long for. In fact, when you ask someone, how are you doing? Usually one of the two answers are fine or busy, right? Have you noticed that? That usually when you ask someone, how are you doing? It's usually, oh, I'm fine, or oh, I'm so busy. Because that's what characterizes most of our lives, especially in a Southern California, Los Angeles culture. We are a busy people compared to the rest of the world. In fact, I have cousins that live in the Midwest, and they look at my pace of life, and they think that we are crazy people because of how fast we live and how much we have to do and how often we are going and how much our lives are filled with things. And you know, the interesting thing is we try to pack our schedule with things that will give us rest, but it never really does it? I mean, even like binge watching Netflix isn't very restful at the end of the day. Have you ever felt just like worse about yourself after you've done that? You're like that was supposed to be restful, but now I just feel gross as a result of all of that. And have you ever been on a vacation and then you come back from the vacation and you realize that you need a vacation recovering from the vacation? It's strange. We took all of our community group leaders to a resort retreat this weekend to connect, to refuel, to bond with one another. It was really tough. We swam in hot springs all weekend and sat in air-conditioned rooms and had really beautiful meals together, sharing with one another. And you know, everyone has come back from that retreat saying, I'm so tired. I don't know what we did that created such a tire, but there's something even about just getting away that exhausts us when we come back into the picture. And there's a million-dollar industry that is attempting to help us find this thing called rest. And it promises us a life that is filled with wealth and happiness and better living. And they make money because we're all searching for it, and they know how desperate we are to find this thing called rest. See, most of us associate rest with sleep. Like, if I get enough sleep, then somehow I'll be rested. I've had a very interesting relationship with sleep my entire life. I grew up with a very vivid imagination as an artist type growing up, and I could think my way into almost any situation, and what I imagined to be there was visually there in the room with me when I was sleeping. And so I found myself never wanting to go to bed because I knew that creepy crawlies were going to be coming out in the middle of the night, monsters of various forms. And so I found myself either sleeping in my parents' bed, in which they quickly realized that was not going to be happening for a lifetime, in which they kicked me out, and then I'd find myself sleeping in the bathroom or sleeping in the hallway because I did not want to be caught by anything that was going to catch me in my room. And so I didn't sleep very well growing up because I constantly found myself afraid in the middle of those things. And see, I wasn't actually afraid of what was outside of my room. See, most normal kids would, like, lock the door, pull the screens down, and hide in their room. I was actually afraid what was in the room in my mind that was going to get me in the middle of that. See, I wasn't afraid there. I was afraid of what was inside of me. And then growing up, I found out that I have a hormone problem, that no matter how much sleep I get, I wake up tired from the sleep. In fact, the more I sleep, the more tired I wake up from the middle of that. And so it seems like there's never a space to actually find sleep. When we got married, I even bought a sleep number bed. I thought, this is going to be it. This is going to be the thing that changes. Nah, it just made things a little nicer. But sleep seems to elude me. But you know, it's crazy. I can tell you that at times, I have been exhausted, tired, but I've been at rest. Because there's a difference between the two. See, we think that if we get enough sleep that somehow we'll be rested. Or if we get away enough, we'll somehow come back rested. Or if we take enough time off, then somehow we will find this thing called rest. But I can tell you that I have been the most exhausted at times in my life and been at the most rested space. There's other been times where I've had all the time in the world to relax, and I've never actually found rest in those seasons. So there's not a connection or a correlation between sleep and this thing called rest. See, my sleep can be all over the map, but I can tell you that at times I feel rested. And my schedule is crazy. But I find that there are times where my schedule, when it's the most crazy, I feel the most rested. I don't know how that all works in the middle of that. See, I used to try to stay awake at night to get away from the nightmares that were coming at me in the night. But I find that for most people, they attempts to get sleep to get away from the nightmares that are plaguing them during the day. They attempt to find sleep to remove all of the monsters that they find themselves in their lives while they're awake, that are keeping them from this thing called rest. That they want to get away from the mindsets that are so dizzying and disoriented, the anxiety, the despair, the hopelessness, the distress, the worry, the constantly replaying the conversations that went wrong over and over and over again, the situations that aren't turning out that they should be turning out, the marriage isn't exactly the way they want it to be, the bank account, how it should be. And it's so easy to say, I just need to get away from it all. And so I'd rather go to sleep now so that I can get away from the nightmares that are here during the day. And sleep sometimes can be the only place where we find solace, but it's not actually the place where we find rest, because the crazy thing is you wake up the next day and the monsters are back. It's another day fighting off the demons that plagued us the day before. So how do we find a rest that truly satisfies? How do we find a rest that actually does what it's supposed to do? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1. If you need a copy of the scriptures, you can raise your hand. One of our connection teams would give you one of those. We'd love to give you a copy of the scriptures. But in Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1, this is a conversation that is had about rest with God's people. And it says this in Hebrews 4, 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share in the faith of those who obeyed. that they did not share in the faith of those who obeyed here in this moment. See, for some of us, we actually believe in a God who could do the miraculous. And it's easy to sing songs like, I believe in you, you're the God of miracles, or what a wonderful, powerful name it is. And we believe in that God, and yet we're still trying to believe enough to find rest. We're still trying to believe enough to have a God who will invade our life fully to the point where we find this place called rest, where we can step into that space. See, there may be people in your life who actually don't believe in God because you profess to believe in a God, and yet your life is not restful. And they're like, if that's what it looks like to follow Jesus, I'm not that interested in what that might look like in the middle of that. Because sometimes we are restless, even when it comes to connecting to God, who is a God who is attempting to infuse us with his rest. See, but the challenge doesn't lie in the externals around us. The challenge doesn't lie in the things that are going on all around us, outside of us. The challenge is an internal challenge that we step into. See, because the backstory here is that God is talking to the Israelites, who he has just set free, who he has just released from captivity, that they are no longer having to make bricks day after day after day in the sweltering sun, slaving under Pharaoh, trying to get their wages, trying to make sure that they're not beaten that day, to have the little bit of grain that they're given to feed their family, and they find themselves free. And yet what the scriptures say is that they have not yet been able to find rest in their freedom because they have not this faith to enter into this space. How many of you know what it's like to be free and yet still be chained by the hauntings of the past? How many of you know what it looks like to be completely set free and yet still have things that hold on to you, that keep you from finding this place of life called beauty and of rest and of rejuvenation in that place? See, it's possible to be set free and still fall short of the freedom that we are called to live in, to be shackled to those things. And those things are exhausting. Hauntings from the past, the competition that we find ourselves in, wondering if we're ever going to get ahead, if things are ever going to shift for us. See, it's interesting that the place in our physical world most associated with rest is a cemetery. It's the place where the word rest shows up the most, right? Because when someone passes away, we say, may they rest in peace. As if rest was a reward that we got after living this exhausting life. As if finally we could find ourselves there, because we never actually found it in this life. So hopefully that when we die, we could finally one day rest in peace, because we don't have it here and now. We don't find it here, so we hope for it when we die, as if rest was the last thing that we received for living, rather than being an indicator that we actually are fully living. See, what if rest was actually designed to be an indicator that we were fully alive and that we were fully connected to a God who was doing things through us that were unexplainable and moving us into the future with us? See, sometimes that restlessness that we find inside of us is connected to things in our character, like greed, just wanting more, constantly having this desire to have more of what we don't actually need in life. For some of us, it comes from a place of apathy, of just saying, I will never be hurt again, and so I find myself apathetic, unwilling to be passionate, to push myself, to drive myself into what's next. For some of us, it comes from a level of entitlement, of I deserve, and someone should be giving to me, and so I'm constantly pursuing, constantly trying to find, constantly trying to strive to get what is owed to me here in this life. And it plays out in our life in broken relationships, in hopelessness, in the spaces where we feel like there is no movement, no possibility, nowhere else to turn in the middle of this. So the crazy thing is that we attempt to try to fix the circumstances to fix this internal problem that's taking place. We try to change all the externals around us to try to fix what's going on over here. We don't actually get to the root of it. We just want to fix the symptoms of what's taking place. I remember as a kid when I got cold, my mom would give me a spoonful of Dimetapp or whatever. And I remember one day realizing that when I got a cold, my mom kept having to give me Dimetapp like every 4 hours or so. And I asked her, I said, Mom, does this stuff like cure you? And she said, that's a good question. And I said, yes, I thought it was a good question too. And she said, no, it actually doesn't cure you, but what it does is it makes all the symptoms go away for a while. And I thought, I don't want that. And I refused to take cough syrup from that point on. I was like, no, if this isn't going to cure me, there's no point in taking this. I will feel the cough. I will feel the sneezing. I will feel the aches and pains in my body, because if that's what's really going on, I want to know it. I don't want to hide from it, right? Yeah. But oftentimes that's what takes place when we find ourselves in restlessness, is we want to find something that will mask all the symptoms of what's going on rather than finding something that's going to actually bring us into rest. Of something that's going to anesthetize us for a moment to feel like rest, rather than finding the thing that's actually going to bring us into rest. And this is the backstory from the very beginning of time. In fact, in Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 1, when God is creating the earth, after he is done speaking out into everything, in Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 1, this is the very thing that he says after creation's finished. He says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. But the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." See, it's interesting that day seven is known as the day that God rested from creating. Now, I grew up in Sunday school, and they told me that this was the day that God rested, because he had exerted so much energy creating day 1 through 7. As if God was like, "Whoa, that really took it out of me, right? I need a breather." And I've always been taught theologically that God himself needs rest, therefore we need rest. But God, it was not tired in this moment. God was not exhausted. It's not like he had depleted himself in this moment, needed a break for a little bit. This was him sitting and going, "This is beautiful. Look what I have just created. I am going to sit with this and just bask in the glory of this and be in this space where my soul can stop and appreciate everything that's in front of me." It's interesting that this is the end of creation for God. It's his day seventh, but actually this was our day one. That the very first day that we spent on the planet as human beings was this moment of Sabbath, of rest, of pausing and reflecting of the beauty that is around us. And then we went on with our lives. See, the plan that God had from the very beginning is that we would work from rest rather than trying to work to rest. That we would actually start from a place of rest. And from that rest, everything would flow from it. That we aren't supposed to be working for the weekends. That the weekends or the rest that we find are the places that are to fuel us moving forward in life. See, it's not that we have to work to find the rest that feels so elusive. It's that once we find the rest, it jettisons us into what's next. See, I don't know about you, but I have this nice idea that, like, if I can just clear out some of my calendar, then I'm going to totally find rest. Or if I can just clear out some of the work that I have to do, oh my gosh, my life's going to be so much more restful. If I could just figure out some things that we could cut out from life or carve away or spend time away, then life's going to be restful. I can't tell you how many times I've thought in my head, it's like, I just need to get a hotel room and go away for just one night by myself. And that'll fix everything, right? That'll solve all the problems in my life. But there is no rest there. It seems like we work and then we rest in peace, right? But that's not what God had in mind for us, what he designed us. I mean, have you ever just had that thought, I need to get away? I just need to get away. I just need to get away from everything, and then I'll find myself in that space. I have an app on my phone that dings whenever there's like cheap flights to somewhere in the world. And I can't tell you how many times I'm like, oh, I'll just go to Singapore for a few days, right? I'll just fly in, have a few days, go back, and I'll come back so rested from the middle of that. But it never actually proves what we needed. I was on a business trip one time, and we were in Texas, in Dallas, and there's a small little town 2 hours outside of Dallas where I grew up with my grandparents, and no one's there that I know anymore. And it was a season where I was really exhausted. I mean, I was tired. I felt overworked. I felt burdened. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do after this work trip? I'm going to rent a car, and I'm going to go to this sleepy little town in Texas, and I'm just going to relax. I'm just going to rejuvenate. And so I got a hotel room. I drove out there, and I spent about an hour in the room, like, relaxing. I'm like, this is nice. And you know what happened after an hour? I was bored out of my mind. I'm like, what do I do now? And I spent the next 15 hours driving around this city trying to find anything that was even open, available. I mean, I'll take anything. I'll take a liquor store, a drug store. I'll take a supermarket, you know, anything that I can just go walk around in. But there was nothing, because I thought that the destination would move me towards rest, but it never actually happens, because guess what? Wherever you are, there you are. You bring your context with you constantly. And that's what Jesus was attempting to tell the Israelites here in Hebrews chapter 4, was that you can have rest available to you, but if you don't actually step into that rest, it is worthless, because you bring your context with you. And so that he continues in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 6, skipping forward a little bit, he says, "Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them the rest, God would not have spoken later about that day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his." This is an interesting context that God invites the Israelites to step into, this interesting conversation, because rest is not a day or a place or a thing that you do. Rest is a state of being. Rest is an attitude of heart. It's an attitude, just like jealousy or greed or entitlement. Rest is an attitude that we live in and from. And I love that he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He put in time this day called today. I know today is Sunday, but what today is actually today. Because tomorrow's tomorrow, and yesterday was yesterday, but we will never have today again, of course, until tomorrow. But all we have is today, right here and right now. See, the problem is that the Israelites, in this moment, while God was saying, hey, you are set free, why are you so stressed? He's saying, you are to be living in a place of rest, and you are so despairing because you can't just hang out right here today. You're worried about everything that has happened in the past and worrying about, well, you know, maybe if we hadn't left Egypt, then we wouldn't be in this place. Maybe the slavery was better than what we have here. Maybe if we could go back to there, at least we'd have food available to us. Or maybe if we get to the promised land one day tomorrow, then I'll find rest. Yeah, that's it. If we keep chugging forward to tomorrow, then we have it. And they were tied between the past and the future, but were not available because of that to be present today in what was right in front of them. See, we think we need to be free. We think we love this idea of being free, set free to rest. What we don't like is the responsibility that comes with living today, of being present today, here and now in this space. I don't know about you, but my life has been a string of wanting to get to the next season, thinking that when I get to the next season, everything will be different. Ever found yourself there? I remember when I was in high school and I just kept thinking, when I just get to college, things are going to be so much easier. And then I got into college and I realized I had to pay for things, right? I'm like, wait, there's no one magically paying my cell phone bill anymore. There's no one magically paying my insurance. Got it. Okay, so this is awesome. So college, if I can just get to marriage, life will be smooth sailing, right? Because then there's two of us, two incomes, a helper with that. Get into marriage and it's like, oh, got it. Now we have more money problems compound with two people, right? And all of this is going on. Now there's blessings at each stage, but there's also a lot more work that comes with them. And I kept thinking, oh, if we have kids. No, I never thought that. But we always think if we can just get to the next thing, then somehow we'll find rest. Somehow we'll find the thing that we're looking for. Somehow there's this elusive piece missing today, that if I can get it tomorrow, then somehow everything will put together. But it never actually comes. See, strangely enough, this is why people return to their addictions over and over and over again, because slavery gives you a security that freedom removes. Freedom always removes the security of the past and says, you are free today. I don't know about tomorrow, but you are free today. So own it right here and now. And the security that is lost in that goes away. See, so often we find ourselves either living regretting or longing for the past or hoping that the future will bring us what we need. And both are futile in a search for rest, because rest is only available today, here and now, living from that space of being. See, here, and the scriptures actually give us the differentiator between those who find rest and those who don't. Sometimes people think the scriptures are so confusing. When you read them, everything's hiding in plain sight, right? The answers are right there, because he says this. He says, here's the answer between those who find rest and those who don't. It says, those who hear his voice and respond is the differentiator between those who live in rest and those who find themselves living in chaos. Those who don't harden their hearts or harden their ears to the voice of God are the ones who find rest today. There is this direct correlation between hearing the voice of God and acting upon it and rest that comes in life. They are intimately connected with one another. See, God is always speaking. I am convinced of that. That God is always in the act of speaking into us and over us and through us. The question is, are we actually hearing his voice? Are we actually hearing what's going on around us? I remember when I moved to Tokyo for the first time, and I found myself in country, not knowing any Japanese. And when you find yourself in a country where you don't know the language, your brain actually tends to tune out all the other voices because they don't make sense to you. And so it just sounds like mumbled mess out there. And I was in Tokyo for the first time for about a month and a half. And for a month and a half, I was just living in mumbled mess. And I got on the plane, and I came back to Los Angeles, and I got off the plane, and I can't tell you how loud it sounded, because suddenly I could understand everyone's conversation, because we were back in English. And I could hear everything. It was like I had supersonic ears everywhere I went. I was like, I can understand that, I can understand that, I can understand that. Ah, make it go away, right? Because it was so loud, because I had been out of it, that when I stepped into it, it was so apparent. See, I think that at times, God's voice isn't elusive, it's just that we've been disconnected from it. We've been drowning it out with other things. When you connect to his voice, I guarantee you, it will be so loud it will almost hurt, because he is so desperately longing to connect to you. He is always longing to step into those spaces. But there were those who heard his voice and said no. That's what the scriptures say. They were those who heard his voice and say no, just like so many of us. We hear what he says, and we think that God is like a dating service. And when God says something that we don't like, we're like, swipe left, right? Like, no, thank you. Did not want to have that conversation here and now in this. See, the thing that I love about God is that when he speaks into our life and we say no, he doesn't move on from the conversation. He just camps out right there and says, well, I'm having this conversation because I believe this is the conversation that's needed right here and now to move you into the future that you were designed to live in. Feel free to move on, but I'm going to be right here having this conversation. See, oftentimes we're like, well, God, no, what I really want you to talk about is my career. And he's going, no, what I really want to talk to you about is your character, so we're going to camp out right here until you're willing to have this conversation. God, what I really want you to talk to you is about my loneliness and what's going on with here and how these things are missing from my life. And he's going, what I want to talk to you about is your morality and your character over here. I want to talk to you about what's actually going on here that's going to destroy your life. We were always like, hey, God, I want to talk to you about my success and how do I step into the future that's going to move me to my greatest potential. And what he's saying is, what I'd love to talk to you about is your heart over here, because this is not going to actually support you in what you say you want over there. He just camps out on those spaces. And we think that God is almost like a therapist that we pay to deal with our issues. But what God's saying is, look, I know your issues. And I actually know the issues that need to be dealt with first. And so what I would love for you to do is listen to my voice, because I am not attempting to control you. I am not attempting to leave you in the dust. I am not attempting to overlook all those things that matter to you. In fact, they matter more to me than they even matter to you, because I wouldn't have put them there. But we are going to have this conversation first, because this is the conversation that will give you rest and will move you into the future that you are called to live in. See, we will ignore God when he speaks into our lives, and then we get angry when he doesn't respond to ours. We will ignore God when he speaks into our lives, but then we get angry when he doesn't respond to our voice. But see, God is looking to lead you into rest. And see, then there were those who said yes. Not that God makes things easier for those who say yes. Please do not hear me say that. That when you respond to God's voice, and you say, I will obey, and I will step into whatever you're calling me into, it does not get easier. In fact, for some of them, it actually gets far worse. For some of them, there's this popular idea that if I hear God's voice and he wants to lead me into rest, then somehow what he's up to is getting rid of all the suffering in my life. But that's not actually what he's up to. He's up to something bigger. See, rest is a state of being when we obey God's voice, when we step into that space with him. And we get irritated because we don't want God to get into our mess. We just want him to fix the issue, right? Just fix this. If you could just fix this, we're good. And what God's saying is, I want to get all up in your business. I want to mix it up. I know there's places you don't want me to step into, but I'm going to go into. I want to speak into those places. I want to go into that place that feels impossible. I'm going to go into that place that feels the most vulnerable. I want to go into that place that feels the most difficult to step into. I want to get up in there. And then when we step into that, he will give you rest, because God doesn't need to change your circumstances to give you rest. He actually doesn't even need to fix your issues to give you rest. All he needs is your willingness to listen, to soften your heart, and to obey in the middle of that. And when you give him your heart, he moves your soul to rest. See, Marla and I live crazy lives. I mean, sometimes our schedules are blinding. In the month of October, we will be on 3 airplanes going to multiple countries. I mean, it's gonna with a 9-month-old, it's gonna be crazy. I mean, this is our lives. Sometimes I'm looking at our schedule and I'm like, who did this? Oh yeah, us, right? And I can tell you that we find ourselves there, but there are times where our schedule is the most insane that we find God moving the most. There are times when we look at what we're doing and we think, this is not healthy. But then God somehow shows up and does the unexplainable, because we have been obeying his voice. By the way, God will lead you into unhealthy places that aren't unhealthy for him, that just seem unhealthy for the rest of the world. But he's totally with you right there. See, because it's never, ever about what you're doing. It's never, ever about the amount of time you have or amount of sleep you have. It's about following his voice and allowing him to expand your soul. See, the miracle isn't that God changes your circumstances for rest. It's that rest changes your circumstances when you follow him. It moves everything. See, there were some of you that I believe God spoke to you long ago, and you've wondered why God hasn't kept speaking. And it's because when he spoke to you, you hardened your heart. And you said, yeah, I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to obey you there. I'm not really willing to respond to that call or to that request or to that instruction. And you've wondered why it feels like God has been absent. I can tell you that God has not been absent. He hasn't stopped talking. He just hasn't moved on. He's just camped on that conversation saying, hey, until we get rid of this, until we deal with this, until we connect to this, we are not moving forward, because there's nowhere else to go. You will find yourself in restlessness over and over and over again. And the longer that you ignore that request from God, the harder your hearts will get, and the more clogged your ears will get, and the more silent God's voice will become. It's not that he has stopped speaking, it's just that we've gotten better at ignoring it. See, if you go back to those moments and lean in to what God is speaking into your life, and you give him a courageous and risky yes, I guarantee you that he will move you into a space of rest. He will move you into a space where your soul is at peace. You may feel like it's the craziest thing he's asked you to do. You may feel like it's impossible. Like, why would he ever ask you this? This is not what's going to bring me rest. And I can guarantee you that if it's God's voice, when you hear it and step into that, it will align your heart with his, and he will step into you. See, I don't know what God's wanting to say to you. He may be saying something to you. And it might be the same thing that he's saying to you or other people and stepping into there. And we wonder why we don't have rest, but this is where we find God in the middle of that. That's what moves us into that. See, humans don't rest when we're asleep. We rest when we respond to the voice of God and start living wide awake in the middle of that. This is what he calls the Israelites to step into. Psalms 62, 1 through 2 says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will be never shaken. See, this is the reality that God is wanting to bring you into, where your soul finds rest in him and he becomes your fortress, and that there is no circumstance, no person, no thing, no situation that will ever shake you out of that rest. But your soul will only find rest when it's in him and when you're connected to him in that. You will never be able to create the life that you longed for until you find that rest and step into that space, until you place your life in his and he creates something beautiful in you and through you. Rest is not elusive, and it should be the dominating characteristic, one of them, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, because we should be able to say, my soul finds rest in you alone. Would you close your eyes real fast, bow your head? And this morning, I just want to pray for a specific group of people, for those of you in the room who may feel weary, for those of you who may feel unrested. I'm not talking about tired. I'm talking about you just don't feel the rest in your soul. Things feel chaotic. Things feel confusing or distant. And today, I believe that God wants to set you free to live in his rest. So if this morning, if you're here and you're like, man, I just need a breather in my soul, connecting to Jesus, would you just lift your hand up and just say, yeah, I need some rest. No shame. Yeah, who else? Yeah, all over the room. So I need some rest. Awesome. I'm going to pray right now that God's voice would speak to you. God, would you speak to those here who need rest? Would you reveal to them right now so clearly what it is that you are calling them into, Father? Would you reveal to them right now what is it that you've instructed them to step into? What is it they need to do, refrain from, step back from? God, may they hear your voice clearly. And in their obedience, Father, of you today, I ask that you would give them a double portion of rest, Father, that their soul would feel so rejuvenated because they have been with you and obedient. Father, may you just make this a reality for those of us who are your followers, that we may do the miraculous, that we may live lives that others would view as unhealthy or not having good boundaries, God, but that you are in us and through us and with us. Because God, I think that going out and fighting a giant at age 16 is unhealthy, but you did that with David. That freeing your people and traveling into the wilderness was dangerous and unhealthy, but you did that with Moses and you found the promise. You gave him the promised land. Father, you call us into the most dynamic, powerful life that we have been called to live, and you give us rest in that. Teach us that paradox, Father. May we not be afraid to step out into the fullness of what you've called us into, knowing that we will wind up rested on the other side. We thank you for your goodness in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation, or download the Mosaic Pomona app to continue interacting with the Mosaic Pomona community. Thanks, and have a great week.
But this life was designed to be poured out into others, that our life would be a force of transformation and love and beauty, that when we utilize all of our flaws, stepping into all of the power of God and Jesus that he's called us into, he pushes us into what is next. See, this is why God says, look, let's redeem you. And then let's take all of that beauty that we've created from the ashes, and now you are free to go give your life away. The second that we recognize this life is not about us, we suddenly begin to realize the purpose that we were called into. But what I love is that even with all this, Moses still is not convinced, right? He's still not convinced. And the last thing he says to God is, and now I love that he's like, pardon me, right? Because he's like, awkward. He's like, pardon me, would you please find someone else? After all of this, right? And now, it's only now that God gets angry with him. It's only now that God gets angry with him. Because here's the thing, it's okay to doubt. I love doubt. I love people who doubt. I love people who doubt authentically. I love people who doubt with integrity, who are just honest and real with their doubt. But there comes a point at when doubt actually becomes offense. At when the continual doubting, even when God has given you all the evidence and you continue to say no, there's a point at which that doubt becomes offense. Right? Like, I've been diligently watching two-year-olds in public because I will have one soon. And I noticed that, like, the first time the kid says no, the parent negotiates, right? Like, hey, honey, let's get our shoes on. It's time to go. No. Okay, well, we're going to get our shoes on right now. No. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and put your shoes on you. They start kicking and screaming. No. All right, honey, remember what I said? One, two, three. You know, the kid starts screaming. And then finally, the parent's like, that's enough. You're putting your shoes on, right? And I just imagine that that's God right here. It goes from negotiation to a sit down. Like, no, listen, this is what you were called into. See, here's the thing. He says, even in this moment that I'm pissed at you, that I'm so angry at you, even in this moment now that I am frustrated with your doubts and your questions, God does not send that burning bush into Moses and incinerate him, right? He doesn't say, I'm done with you, whoosh, right? He doesn't do that in this moment. He even in this moment says, I'm going to support you. And what I love is that God's plans for all of Moses' insecurities, God's plans for all of Moses' doubts, his backup plan for Moses was community. Amen. That God would say, oh, wait, hold on. I'm really angry right now. But what about Aaron? Yeah. What about Aaron? Remember your brother who's actually really good at speaking? What if we brought him alongside you? Would that be okay then? If we brought people around you to support you in this mission that I've called you into. See, what I love is that God doesn't heal Moses of his stuttering. God doesn't say, oh, I'll show you a miraculous sign. Boom, no more stuttering, no more slow of speech. You can speak just like James Earl Jones. Go for it, right? He doesn't say that. He doesn't heal him, but he brings alongside someone who could speak. See, because if this was just about Moses, God would have just healed him and he would have gone on his business. But God was up to something far more bigger than just Moses. Again, it's not just about you. See, if it was just about Moses, he could have easily healed his stuttering and gotten an ego kick out of it. But it wasn't. It was about the suffering of the people around him. And God says, look, you can't stop here. There are people suffering around you. There are people who are dying around you. There are people who are suffering around us. There are people who are dying around us. So you don't have the option just to stop. And the humbling part about this is that Moses now has to go to Aaron. God didn't bring Aaron over and said, hey, Aaron, come on over here. Let's have a conversation. Let me tell you about what's going on with Moses, all right? Let's have this conversation. Moses has to humble himself and go to Aaron and say, hey, Aaron, I want to let you know, God's called me into this. I feel really insecure about this. I feel crazy. I feel inadequate. I feel unprepared. I feel like I don't have the talent. I feel like everything's telling me no. But if you go with me, I think we could do this. Would you be willing to be my mouthpiece in there? See, and the resource comes. See, when we're willing to humble ourselves and recognize that we need people to fulfill the mission that we're called onto, not like, hey, it would be nice if I had someone, but that you need other people. You need community to actually live out the calling that you're living out. If you find yourself in a space where you're like, I got this on my own, it's also a sign that this is not a divine mission for you. Because when you recognize that you need someone, the resource is there. And you know the crazy thing is? At the end of the day, all Moses really did was hold a stick and pray. And Aaron was the one who said all the words. But you know what? There's never been a movie made about Aaron. There aren't epic stories about Aaron. We don't have movies with Charlton Heston about Aaron. We have movies about Moses, who stood there and prayed and held a stick. Because he was the one that said, all right, despite all the insecurities, despite all the resumes of things that say I can't do this, despite all of the things that inform me that this should not work, I'm willing to humble myself, go get the guy who can speak for me. I'll let him come alongside me, compliment my weaknesses, and together we'll go do it. And we recognize Moses as the hero because he was the one who was willing to say yes to not only the calling that God has on him, but also to community. See, we recognize Moses, not Aaron, because Moses was willing to step into the calling that God has for him, even when everything looked like it shouldn't be there. The question that we have to ask today is, who is our Aaron in life? If you don't have an Aaron in your life, then there's someone here, I guarantee you, that can be your Aaron. If you don't have an Aaron in your life, you need to find someone desperately today. Like passionately find someone. Don't hesitate. Don't leave here today. If you don't have an Aaron who you can say, look, this is what I think God's calling me into, and I need you to come alongside me to help me step into this space, to come alongside me to have this happen. Because if you don't have an Aaron, it will never happen. And we have to answer these questions because you were designed to create a future that is filled with hope like Moses was. And we have to answer these questions of, who are you? Who are you? And who are you with? Who or what is empowering your life? Because I guarantee you, if it's not God, it's going to be insufficient for the calling that he has on your life. Who and will you answer the call to press past your need to look good and allow God to use your weaknesses to transform the world around you? Will you press past your need to have it all together and to have all the questions answered to step into it? And are you willing to do it with others? See, when we're willing to have that conversation with God and the world, everything changes. When we're willing to say, yes, I'll do it, even though all the evidence is stacked up against me, and I'll do it with people. That's what changes the world. That's what you're called into. That's the destiny that God has for you and for our community. Anything less would be a tragedy to not live up to that, what God has called you into. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have created us to live powerful, dynamic lives, God, that transform the world around us and that move us in the process. I thank you that you want to take our weaknesses, the parts of us that we spend so much time and energy attempting to cover up, and that you want to use those places to be strong in us. That the areas that we feel are so unsurmountable, you want to climb up on them and make them our greatest strength and your greatest victory. God, I ask right now that you would open our hearts to what it is that you have for us. This morning, if you would say right there with your eyes closed that you have not yet connected to Jesus in a way that your life feels like it's living and leaning into the miraculous destiny that he's called you into. Maybe this morning you've never yet connected to Jesus. And it would be a tragedy to leave here today without connecting to him, because apart from him, you will be inadequate to live out the life that you were designed to live. And maybe this morning, as we've had this conversation, you're really clear about needing to connect to him and pressing into that place. I want to give you an opportunity to connect to him, to follow him, to decide today that you're going to make him the one who empowers your life above everything else, that you would follow him, that you would make him the Lord over your dreams and your vision, that you would submit to his calling, and that he would take your weaknesses and make them strong, that he would take all of your resume of what's not working and he would actually use it for your good. This morning, if you would say, I just need to connect to Jesus for the first time, I'm willing to give in. Maybe you've walked away for a while and you need to step into that. Would you just raise your hand and say, yeah, this morning I need to connect to Jesus. Yeah, who else? Who else says, yeah, I just need to connect to Jesus, maybe for the first time or reconnect? All right, you can put your hands down. I'm going to make a second opportunity and an invitation to step into this morning. If you would say, I have a dream, I have a calling on my life, I have a purpose for my life, and I do not have community surrounding me with that. I have been unwilling to submit my faults, insecurities to that. And I, up until now, I've been unwilling to connect to people, or maybe I just haven't seen people that are available to me. Today, if you would say, I want to find my Aaron, or I need to find my Aaron, I need to find that person or those people who are willing to come around me to support me in this calling. If that's you, would you just put your hand up in the air saying, I want to find that person. Yeah, all over the room. Where else? Say, I want to find my Aaron. I want to find that person who's going to come alongside me and support me. Yeah, who else? All over the room. Awesome. I just want to pray over you right now. Those of you who want to connect to Jesus for the first time, and for everyone else, I want you to just pray this prayer with me. Just, dear Jesus, would you come into my life right now? I make you Lord of my life. I submit myself to you. God, would you come and open my eyes to the community that you have around me? I submit my weaknesses and all of the things that have not worked up until now. I give them to you. Would you bring people around me to support that? And would you give me the courage to ask for help, to step into the mission and the purpose that you've called for me? We thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you made any type of decision or if you're connected to this, we'd love to have you come connect to us at Next Step. Or if this is your first or second time, you've never been to Next Step,